In today's Mishnah, from the 4th and 5th Mishnah, from the 7th Perek Masechta Eruot, the Mishnah begins, Said Rebbe Tzadok Azochalim Shekilchan Ba'ale Egoz Shehem Ksheirim. So in yesterday's Mishnah, we mentioned the fact that water that's defined or has the same halachic status as spring water can metahar, meaning if you place a kli into that water, it would make a tahor even if the water's flowing. So despite the fact that it hasn't collected like it is required of mikveh waters. And important law to add here is that if this water flowed over a kli, a vessel, then it would be pasul, it would not be able to use as water for purification. This is defining as spring water, so it could be used for mechatat, it could be used for immersing a zaven or a matzora, as we mentioned yesterday. The testimony of Rabbi Tzadok is regarding water that flowed over alei egoz. Now, literally, that's leaf of a nut. So what's it referring to? This is referring to the outer, if you like, thin shell, the green shell that goes over these nuts. So, in other words, despite the fact it's a water is going in and out of that thin cover or shell, it would not be considered a kli, it wouldn't be a problem, it's still fine. And the Mishnah continues, Ma'aseh haya b'ahalia. There was an incident in such a place where we had that exact incident, Obamas lefe lifnei kli shchat agazit, and it came before the Sanhedrin in the Beis HaMikdash, and v'hichshirua, and that was okay. And again, that is according to the testimony of Rabbi Tzadok, that once again, as we saw in yesterday's Mishnah, the second one, we have an incident where that was actually halacha lemaisa, it was actually implemented in practice. There is another explanation. Rashi says that it's not ale egoz, but ale egoz. So it's like the leaves from an egoz tree. But in the event, the point was that these leaves, or the shell, that thin coating shell, is not defined as a kli. Let's now learn Mishnah Hey. Ha'id Rabbi Yoshua v'Rabbi Yakim Ish Hadar, the Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Yakim, they both testify al kalal shel chatat. So here referring to the earthenware kli that contained the ashes from the para aduma. What do they testify about such a kli? We have to remember that an earthenware kli, if tumah is in direct contact with the outside of it, even if it's in direct contact with the outside, it doesn't make a tameh. For the kli and its contents normally to become tameh, the tumah has to be inside the kli. Even if it's not in direct contact, it can simply be dangling in the airspace. That's when it would transfer to him. And that's a unique law by clay cheres, earthen utensils. Normally utensils, not that not case at all. It has to be in direct contact, whether inside or outside. The point is here, is that they placed this kalal, this earthenware clay that contained the ash of the pradama, al gabe hasheretz, on top of a sheretz. So it's one of the dead Greek recalls that is a source of tumah. And the testimony was, shahu tameh, that despite the fact the clay itself cannot become tameh, since the Torah states that when it's referring to collecting the ashes of the para adumah, it says, Va'asaf ish tahor, someone who's tahor should collect them at the Efer ha-para, the ashes from this para. V'niach michutz lav machaneh, has to be placed outside the camp, b'makom tahor, in a place that is tahor. So the way that Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yakim understand the pasuk, or that the substance of the testimony was, if you place it on top of the sheretz, again, the kli is tahor. However, that's not considered as if you're placing the ashes of makom tahor and a place that is tahor, because the makom on which it is seated is a source of tumah. Therefore, the ash would be considered tameh. And why is that testimony so important? That is because Rabbi Eliezer metaru, because Rabbi Eliezer was of the opinion, he was a dissenting opinion, who said that since the tumah cannot affect the kli, therefore the ashes inside it should be tahor. It was the Chachamim that disagreed, and Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Yakim brought this testimony that that is indeed the halacha. This next case is as follows. Heid Rabbi Papias, al mi shenazar shtei nizirot. So Rabbi Papias testified about a case where someone took upon himself two terms of nizirot, meaning to become a nazir. That if, again, we learned the Masechet Nazir not so long ago, part of the neder is he's not allowed to have great products, he's not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to come into contact with two men emanating from a corpse. We also said that stam nizirut, a general term of nizirut, is 30 days. What would happen is, so he would count 30 days and then shave his hair on the 31st day and then bring the korbanot. So therefore, if he took upon himself two terms of nizirut, after he completed his first term, on the 31st day, what he would do, once again, is he'd shave and bring his korbanot and begin the second term 30 days. That would mean that that day would already be considered day one. And then on the 61st day, that would be the very end of the second nizirut, and he'd shave and bring korbanot. Mishnah says, Im gilach et rishona shiom shloshim, that if he shaved, meaning he ended his nizirut and shaved on the 30th day, not the 31st day, so he didn't complete 30 full days, then that would still be fine, bidyeved. Why? Because we say mitzat yom kukulo, meaning the fact that he's into the 30th day, it's bidyeved, meaning after the fact, if he's already shaved his hair a day early, that would be considered okay. So therefore, what he should do then? Then he should do the next full term of 30 days and add a day for the next one, the 31st day of the second term. That's when he would be doing the second shaving of all his hair and bring his korbanot. So that is, it says, from that case, you should treat it ideally. And magaleach hashniyah yom shishim. You should be on the 60th day. Because again, the 30th day is when he started. If that's already considered day one, once you get to the 60th day, that's 31st day of the second term. However, in gilach, if he shaved the second year zero also that day slightly early, yom shishim chaserachad on the 59th day, then he's yotzer as well, it would work. Because again, he would say mitzat yom kukulo for the second term, why yom shloshim the 30th day, ole lo min haminyan lekan lekan. So why does it work that bidyeved, he could get away with 59 days? Because we said the final day of the first term can be considered the first day of the second term. And bidyeved, if you shaved on the 30th day in both of them, that would get you to 59 days and it would be yotzer. That would be sufficient. He satisfies his neder, the vow to become a Nazir for that Stam Nazirot of 30 days. That's the Mishnah today.